Let us now turn for our scripture reading. The scripture reading this evening is taken from the prophecy of Jeremiah and the 11th chapter, the prophecy of Jeremiah, the chapter 11. Commencing reading at the verse 18, and then we read through to the end of the verse 6 of the chapter 12. Jeremiah, chapter 11, verse 18 through to chapter 12 and the verse 6. This is the word of Almighty God. Come, let us hear the word of the Lord. The Lord give us ears to hear and hearts to receive his precious word. And the Lord hath given me knowledge of it, and I know it, and thou showest me their doings. But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, Let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. But, O Lord of hosts, that judgest righteously, that triest the reins of the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them. For unto thee have I revealed my cause. Therefore thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth, that seek thy life, saying, Prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, their sons and their daughters shall die by famine, and there shall be no remnant of them. For I will bring evil upon the men of Anathoth, even the year of their visitation. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth, and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me, and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn, and the herds of every field wither, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, He shall not see our last end. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? For even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and may the Lord be pleased to bless that public reading of his most holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word, all for the glory of his name and for the good of our needful and never dying souls. Dear friends, I turn your prayerful attention once again to that word which I read to you in your hearing there, in the prophecy of Jeremiah, in the 12th chapter, and taking for my text this evening the verse 5 of the chapter 12. These are the words of the Lord to Jeremiah, who was very much troubled at this time, vexed by the much persecution that he was facing from others, particularly religious leaders and the people of Judah. And the Lord, in answer to Jeremiah's prayer, says these words to him, If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? If in the land of peace, wherein thou treadest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? Now, as we look at these words, they perhaps may not seem to be words of encouragement to us at first. They may even seem to be words of discouragement. But the Lord is very wise in the way in which he deals with us. We're going to go through difficult times, as Jeremiah did. in our lives. We're certainly seeing difficult times today here in England and across the world where men have no time for God, where there is great evil abounding. And when we say things like, well, God has sent this plague upon the whole world, this virus that is all around us and that has taken so many lives, we may say and speak the truth that God is over all things and he sends these things. These things do not come by accident, and that God is angry and people will persecute us. If we speak the truth in love, if we speak about God's righteous anger and his indignation against sin, and that he's coming again to judge the living and the dead, or if we just live faithfully as Christians, we are going to face much opposition. The prophet Jeremiah faced much opposition. Now let's just look for a moment at the godless society in which he lived. You notice in the verse 1 to 4, he is praying that the Lord answers his prayer concerning these things. He says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper?" Or why does the way of the wicked prosper? "Wherefore are all they happy that deal treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins." You see his complaint. The wicked, the unbelieving of this world, well, they're happy, although they deal treacherously with Jeremiah the prophet and others. And they speak foolishly. They say, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. God is not coming to judge Judah. The occasion here is, of course, Jeremiah has been called as a youthful prophet to minister to the nation Judah. The two kingdoms have long been divided. In 722 BC, Israel in the north was taken by the Assyrians because of their idolatry. God had warned them for many years, if they did not cease their idols, if they did not turn from their idolatry and turn back to the living God who brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey, that God would judge them. And so they were taken away and assimilated into the Sumerians. They ceased to be a nation. And now many years later, the time is leading up to this Babylonian captivity, when Judah, the nation in the south, after having been warned, like Israel, for so many years to turn back to the living God, they haven't. By and large, the nation has fallen into idolatry, and there is by and large an unbelieving people, despite all that God has done for this country. And yet, they despised the prophets, and they despised men like Jeremiah, who had been called from a very early age, as I said, to minister the word of God and to warn them of God's impending judgment if they do not repent. And evil just seems to prevail in this day and age. How can it be? Is God really ruling and reigning from heaven? Does God see these things? "Thou art righteous, O God." Notice, but as he begins his prayer, there is a note of respect, isn't there, of God. "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments," or the Lord's dealings, or the way that the Lord delivers his people, and certainly doesn't seem at the moment to be dealing with those who are wicked and blaspheming the name of God by the way that they live. They pretend to be the people of God, Judah, and much of the priesthood has become apostate. And of course, when Jeremiah preached, he was rejected by and large by Judah, and by and large by the priests in Anathoth, as we will see. And then in the verse 5, the Lord answers him. But again, as I say, perhaps not in the way that maybe Jeremiah was expecting. "If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan?" You notice even the verse 6, even how Jeremiah's own family and people there in Anathoth have been dealing with him so treacherously. Verse 6, for even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. So this is the situation. Jeremiah's preaching of the truth, preaching God's word to the people, it has caused much harm to him. He has been despised, and at times we may feel like Jeremiah in this world. Well, the world doesn't listen to us, and we try to speak the truth to them in love, and of course we must always address people in love, we must witness in love, and we must warn sinners of God's wrath to come. Well, life is going to be difficult, isn't it? It's going to be difficult just being a Christian. You don't have to open your mouth very often to just be persecuted in the truth. Your own family can very easily persecute you simply because of who you stand for and what you are. You're a child of God. And so that, first of all, is the evil of the day. Not only were they unbelieving and idolatrous, but they wouldn't listen to the truth. And that's how the world is today. He was raised as a young prophet in the town of Anathoth, and that was a priestly town, not far away from Jerusalem, just a few miles away. Now, you notice if you turn to the chapter 11 and the verse 21, Jeremiah 11, 21, therefore thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth, that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. You see, even the people, the men of Anathoth there, the verse 21, said, do not prophesy in the name of the Lord. We don't want to hear what God has to say. And this is quite a shocking thing, isn't it? Especially when we think of Anathoth being a priestly town where the Levites were. This is incredible, isn't it, to think that it had reached such a state. And when we think of England, a country that had for so long sent missionaries out into the world, and now this country wants to know nothing of God. And they say, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. So his warning, what did it produce? Well, it outraged them to the point where they threatened his life. And we know this, if we preach in the open air, our lives have been threatened. People don't want to hear the truth. People hate the truth. There was a time when people would stop and listen to the preaching of God's word. How far we have fallen in this our land today. It's a great tragedy, isn't it? You think there of that town of Anathoth where the priests lived, and yet it's become a haven for not only idolatry but false teaching. They say peace, peace, but there is no peace. If you just turn to Jeremiah chapter 8 and notice from the verse 8, Jeremiah chapter 8 and the verse 8. How do ye say, we are wise? Now, let me just introduce this first of all. Jeremiah here, the Lord, by a series of questions and answers, he portrays the attitude of the people in Jeremiah's day. And here's the first question, verse 8 of chapter 8. How do ye say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? I mean, look at the way the priests treated God's word. God's written his word in vain. That's how they look at God's word. Lo, certainly in vain made he it. That is his word. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The scribes would copy out the scriptures. The wise men are ashamed. Well, because why? They don't believe the word of God. They don't trust it. Notice the verse 10 then. Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For everyone from the least even to the greatest is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. So the Lord hurt them, smote them, but they've healed that hurt by saying, don't worry, God won't bring any judgment, there'll be no trouble. And then we read, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, no, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Isn't that true today? People in our country, in our land, do not blush at sin. Even those so-called members of the clergy, the state church, don't blush at homosexuality. They don't blush at the wickedness and the perverseness of our society. Is it little wonder that God has sent a plague upon the world? It shouldn't strike us as something extraordinary at all. The priests in Jeremiah's day despised the preaching of the word. They despised Jeremiah. They despised the word of God. And so they wanted to slay. And so it is. We may find this in our own day. When we preach the truth or we stand for the truth, we will find much opposition. These men loathed Jeremiah. And it's true, the world and even empty professors, even those who would so-called be Christians, loathe those who stand for the truth. But something else, these priests in Jeremiah's day, they had been making large sums of money from Baal worship. That was another thing. They were just false teachers, really. Religious hucksters, could we say. And so Jeremiah's unrelenting indictment of their wickedness, it just infuriated them all the more. Now, it's very obvious when we come to our text this evening that Jeremiah is greatly vexed at this whole thing. And he seems to stand out on his own. But interestingly, he wasn't on his own. There were other prophets like Uriah. If you just turn to chapter 11 and the verse 19, not only that, we'll look at Uriah in a minute, but just thinking here for a moment, Jeremiah didn't even realize how even his own family hated him. Chapter 11, verse 19, he says, but I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. And then we read in the chapter 12 how his family despised him. Verse 6 of chapter 12. And then, as I said, Jeremiah was not the only prophet that was despised. There was a man by the name of Uriah, the prophet. Jeremiah 26, notice in the verse 20. And there was this man, Uriah. Jeremiah 26, just come down to the verse 20. And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Uriah the son of Shemaiah. And then you come down to the verse 23 and we read, they fetched forth Uriah out of Egypt and brought him unto Jehoiakim the king and slew him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. And so Jeremiah was obviously living in very perilous times. You see how they treated the prophets very evilly. It's a reminder, isn't it, that, I mean, you look back a few years earlier, it wasn't like that. It's a reminder how quickly society can change and become so wicked. It wasn't so long afterward that it changed for good again. When the people returned back to the land, when they listened to the prophets then, certainly there weren't always halcyon days, but there were great days of prosperity and there were glad days. But you know, the world can change so quickly, it's so fickle, and we need to be on guard of that. We need to be ready, we need to prepare ourselves. And the Lord is preparing him here as we come to this chapter 12, and we're going to now look at these verses. Now, in the verse 1 to 4, what Jeremiah does is he takes his trouble to the Lord. And as he does so, he does so with a very humble attitude, humble approach. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. He's not angry, and this always ought to be our approach. We approach God whenever we're in difficulty, not complaining, understanding and knowing that he is the righteous and the just God, and that he always does what is right. But we may bring our petitions, we may bring our worries, we may bring our complaints before him. Peter says, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for you. Now it's very striking that as you look at these verses, verses 1 to 4, there are quotations in Jeremiah's prayer here from the Psalms, from Job, and also from the book of Ezra. We don't have time to look at that, but he actually quotes scripture there. And it's lovely to see, and we ought to quote scripture, because that is our plea, isn't it? And there's a word of respect, firstly. And then we also see how he mentions to the Lord how the way of the wicked that seems to prosper, and how they're happy that deal so treacherously. Now, we never tell God truths that he doesn't know when we pray to him. He knows everything, and that we must always be mindful of. But we must bring our petitions before him. Now let's look at the Lord's response, and we're going to learn some lessons from this response. This is the response of the Lord, and it comes in the form of two metaphors. The first you'll notice, the first part of the verse 5. The Lord addressing Jeremiah in this perilous time, he says, if thou hast run with a footman, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? God says to Jeremiah, effectively, you've run against men. You're contending. We think here maybe of men chasing us or running a race or something like that. You've run with a footman. What the Lord is saying is it's going to get far worse, Jeremiah. If thou hast run with a footman, then they have wearied thee. How shalt thou contend with horses? How will you contend with horses? That's the first. And then the second metaphor. And if in the land of peace, relative peace at the moment, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling or the wilderness or the thickets of Jordan? Now the swelling of the Jordan was a vast wilderness area, where there were many wild beasts and lions, and it was a treacherous place. And the Lord is saying to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, it is going to get worse. You need to realize this. How, if you have run with the men and they have wearied me, how are you going to fare when it comes time to contend with horses? And how, if you've lived in a land of relative peace, it's going to get far worse. It will be like the swelling of the Jordan, where those great beasts are. Jeremiah, how will you contend there? This is biblical language. The swelling of the Jordan. In Zechariah 11:3, we read, there is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled. A voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. Now, one thing we must observe from this is God is always honest with his people, isn't he? You know, this is the way that he deals with us. He doesn't sort of pat Jeremiah on the head and say, well, Jeremiah, don't worry, it'll all work out in the end. It's going to get worse, Jeremiah. Your environment is going to get far worse. Jeremiah, if you think that things are tough now, what's it going to be like when things, as I'm telling you, will become far worse? Now we ask, is this perhaps the best way to encourage Jeremiah? Is this the right way to deal with him? Well, obviously, yes, as far as the Lord is concerned, it is. And we'll see the responses here that God gives in these two metaphors. Well, they're really laced with God's goodness. God always laces his answer to us with goodness. And the first is this, and I know I've already made this point, I don't want to belabor it, but here it is. God is always honest toward us. When we read our Bibles, we do read that in the latter days, things will become very perilous. Perilous times will come, says the apostle. Now, of course, the last days may span Indeed, the time of Christ, his ascension, up until that final day, that's true. And there are seasons of great adversity in the world. And certainly there have been great seasons of difficulty. The Lord has been completely upfront with us about that. But especially leading up to that final day of the Lord Jesus Christ coming, there will be perilous times. And we must be prepared for that as God's people. God says to him here, things are going to get far worse, Jeremiah. Not just your own family hating you, but the whole nation. He was despised. And we know even how finally when Judah went into captivity, there was Jeremiah. We believe that he is the one in Lamentations who weeps over Jerusalem. But the Lord, of course, has planned everything to restore his people, to bring them back. And everything will work to the glory of God. And we have to believe that. Whatever evil will come into this world, God will work it for his glory. And even Jeremiah's brethren, we saw it there in the verse 6 of the chapter 12, for even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. That's quite something, isn't it? To have your own family call people after you. Well, they were embarrassed. Maybe they were being threatened. This is your relative Jeremiah. If you don't deal with him, we will. And so on. We don't actually know what took place. But they notice they're called a multitude after thee. What wickedness. And we may even see it from our own family, sadly. But ultimately we must realize, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, the world will hate you, for it hated me first. And if we're faithful to the Lord, the Apostle Paul says, all that desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jeremiah, as we know, will be beaten. He will be put in the stocks. He will be thrown into a dungeon, narrowly escaping his life. But you see, the Lord here is saying, yes, it's going to get far worse, but he's being kind and he's being loving and he's preparing him for greater obstacles to overcome. And Jeremiah did overcome them. And we as God's people will overcome the world. And we will overcome all things, for Christ is our strength. And our Heavenly Father, he never hides anything from us. His word is spoken. And so again, you know, the Lord is not saying here, cheer up, Jeremiah, things are going to get better. That would be a lie. But he's completely up front with us. And this arms him for the battle, doesn't it? Remember the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 14, he's just been stoned at Lystra. And you see his attitude, Acts 14, the verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples. Now notice this, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And so it is. For all of us, Paul says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. In one form or another, we will face it. But blessed are they who suffer for Christ's sake. And we would agree with that, wouldn't we? We must consider it an honor and a glory to suffer for Christ in whatever way. I received an email just yesterday from an unbeliever that I've known for much of my life, asking what I make of all this current epidemic. And I gave my response prayerfully, obviously, lovingly, prayerfully. And I said simply words to this effect, that God is angry with sin. God is angry with the world. God is angry with immorality. And that God has sent the plague and the virus. And I backed him up with scriptural proofs. And that's always important to do that. Don't just say things as a Christian and not back it up with scriptural proofs. But, well, I also warned that God will soon judge the world of its sin, and that we must repent and seek salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it seems that the message was not well received. No response or anything like that, I suspect. Not well received, but I do pray that the Lord might move in hearts. But you see, when you write something like that, or you tell the world the truth, you'll be accused of being hateful. You'll be accused of being a freak or something like that. And you're just being honest with people. You're just being sincere with them. And that is what we'll get. Well, we must warn the world. Of course, we must be very careful to speak lovingly to people and not come across as being self-righteous or anything like that. And we must speak of ourselves as being sinners, but saved sinners, saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must speak with grace. Let our words be with grace, seasoned with salt, says the apostle, always. But remember, as the apostle says in 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. And we see that today, don't we? We see a promiscuous society. We see licentiousness. We see men exchange the natural use of the body for that which is unseeming, and the same with women as well. Well, the world is increasingly waxing in its sin, and there will be an increasing divide. Let me just say this. There will be an increasing divide between Christians and the world. The difference will become more and more obvious as the world darkens in inky black sin, as it were. Christians ought to shine all the more. And of course, we only shine because God has shone in our hearts through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must give a reason for the hope that we have. God has made us to differ, but we must always speak of Christ. And we must always realize that things are certainly, as I believe, certainly when we read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, when the Lord Jesus Christ says, iniquity shall abound, and the love of the many shall wax cold. Iniquity shall abound. And the word there for abound means to multiply exponentially. False prophets shall go out, and the love of the many, that is the professing many, not really Christians, will wax cold. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And so, just thinking on this first point, let us thank the Lord who loves us enough to tell us the truth about the world. And thus we can prepare for times such as this. But secondly, I want you to look at the first metaphor there and the second. These words have a strengthening effect upon Jeremiah. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? Do you see what is couched in these words? They're couched in a promise. Jeremiah, you will contend with horses. Jeremiah, you will outrun the men. Jeremiah, this is precisely what I've called you to do. You will. I've planned more to come for you, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was a very faithful prophet, even to the end. And the Lord is saying, Jeremiah, you must be strong, because I am calling you to run, to contend against the horses. You will outrun these men. They will be carried away. They will be judged. And there is a greater task ahead. Jeremiah, I shall do these great things. The time of the trial is now, but it's going to get far worse. And this is part of your preparation for the real battle ahead. And it's true, I know many Christians have testified to this, that as they go through life as a Christian, the Christian life begins with trial, doesn't it? There are many trials. James says, consider it all joy when ye are faced with divers trials or temptations. And he goes on to say, the trying of your faith worketh patience, and so on. The Lord is maturing us for a further work, for a greater work. He's going to put more responsibility into our hands. The more faithful we prove to be, the Lord will give us more to do, the more He will entrust us with in our lives. Jeremiah, I'm expecting more from you. This is what the Lord is saying. You will run against these horses. You will weary the men. They may have wearied you, but you will outrun them. But you will contend with horses. You must rise. You must count it an honor. You see, what the Lord is doing is He's lifting His eyes to a greater challenge. There are greater things ahead. And this is true for us, isn't it? Think of our lives as we've gone on. If we do an analysis of our Christian life, how the Lord has taken us through more and more. And it's been the Lord that has strengthened us, hasn't it? And so we need to be encouraged when the Lord says these things. He will equip us. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, says the Apostle Paul. Now, maybe you're finding the Christian life very hard. Of course it is hard. But the Lord will cause you to walk through harder things. We have to prove Him, and as we prove Him, He always proves to be true. And as we go through a trial, it strengthens our faith, doesn't it? As we go through something and we do something faithfully, indeed our faith is increased and we're strengthened. God's people don't collapse. God's people don't give up. But they have a resolve. God gives them a resolve. And so this is very, very important. Think of the thicket of the Jordan here. Sometimes things can be very scary. Imagine walking through this wilderness. And things we go through can be very scary as Christians, can't they? Now, I just turn you for a moment to Isaiah 39. Isaiah 39, and the words there in Isaiah 39 were words of prophecy about the Babylonian captivity, how the eunuchs would be carried away into Babylon, and how they would serve there, the king, and how the Lord would come in for those. And we think particularly of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Isaiah 39 and the verse 7, "And thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord, which thou hast spoken. He said, Moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days." So nothing came in Hezekiah's days, but the eunuchs would be led away. Those who read in the book of Daniel reads and tells us of the chief of the eunuchs who took in those like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. And remember what a difficult time those young men had in captivity. And remember how they were thrown into the fire. And who was with them in the fire? But the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a fourth one in the fire. And you come to chapter 40 of Isaiah. And we read these words. "He giveth power to the faint," Isaiah 40:29, "and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Now you can imagine, when Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they read those words of prophecy in Isaiah, how encouraged they must have been. The youth, notice, they'll run, they'll be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But notice, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What an encouragement. That was Daniel's strength, wasn't it? To wait upon the Lord. And that's our strength. That was Jeremiah's strength. to wait on the Lord. And what is Jeremiah doing here? He's praying to the Lord, and the Lord gives him a word of encouragement. And what do we draw from all of this? In these times of difficulty, in these times of trial, what do we need to do? We need to do as they would have done. They would have read their Bibles and found a word in season for them. You know, the Lord always has a word in season for His people. And I hope today this is a word in season for us. The world and all that is going around us can seem very scary. But what an encouragement the Lord brings to us just in that time that we need it. You know, we are called to serve. And we are called to stand for the things of the Lord. Men's eternity rests upon the truth. And you know, the Lord Jesus said, by our words we shall be justified. And what we say in this world will prove whether we are God's children or not. How we stand for the truth and all these things will prove whether we truly are the people of God. And Jeremiah proved himself to be a child of God, that the Spirit of God was in Jeremiah. And the Spirit of God is in all of His people. And they will stand for the truth. And so these things come as an encouragement. And also notice, if thou hast run with a footman and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? If in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? Now, the answer to those two questions really for Jeremiah is surely it's impossible. You can't do it, Jeremiah, on your own. But remember the question that Jeremiah asks, and then the Lord asks as well, is there anything too hard for the Lord? There's nothing too hard for the Lord. It is by His arm, by His strength, by Christ in us that we stand. In Jeremiah 1, the verse 19, we read, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. What words of encouragement. And the Lord is with His people. He is with them. If we have come to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have truly repented of our sins, the Lord is in us and He is with us, and He will stand with us in the battle. They shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. What an encouraging word. The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, as we heard in a recent message, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:6, we read, wherefore, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, Paul just about to face his executors by Nero. Nero will put him to death. And he writes to encourage young Timothy, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands, that is to preach. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Well, the Lord has given us that spirit of a sound mind, not of fear, but to serve Him. And to serve Him and fellow creatures with love. We know the end is soon. We don't know when exactly. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, lo, I come quickly. It won't be long, and the battle will be over soon. And the issue is, how will you contend? How will I contend in not only this evil day, but throughout our days as Christians? Will we be faithful to our great captain, the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're growing weary, chances are you're looking to yourself. Don't look to yourself. Look to Him. Fix your eyes upon Him. Consider Him, says the apostle, who endured so much contradiction from sinners, lest you become weary and faint in your mind. God will strengthen us. He will help us. We are more than victors. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. You know, the Apostle Paul said, who is sufficient for these things? None of us are. But our sufficiency, he says, is of God. And that's where we've got to look. Look to him for courage. Pray to him if you're feeling weary, if you are doubtful, if you're afraid, whatever it is, look to him. Just seek to be faithful to him. We are told very clearly and explicitly in the Word of God that there will be much affliction. But through much affliction and much tribulation, we shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. We shall. We will. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, I'm sure that those youths, indeed perhaps even, thought of Jeremiah, how faithful he was. We know that Daniel read the book of Jeremiah, and he was encouraged when he heard about the 70 years of captivity. He began to pray like Jeremiah, and the Lord heard the prayer, returned them back to the land. What an example Jeremiah was to others, and who knows what an example you might be to other Christians in years to come. Who knows? But ultimately, we will give God the glory. We'll give him the honor for any good that we have ever done in our lives. For we know that it is he that worketh in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Well, let us encourage our hearts here this evening by the word of the Lord. The Lord does encourage his people. He tells us that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Well, let us pray. Seek the Lord together. O Lord, we do thank thee this evening for thy precious and sacred word. We do pray, O Lord, that thou would minister to our hearts tonight, Lord, as we have come to hear thy word. And we pray that thou would indeed, Lord, write it large upon our hearts, that we might have that fresh courage armed for the battle against certainly the evil one who would seek to bring us into a downcast state of mind. O Lord, we thank thee, as the Lord Jesus Christ has said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of God. We thank thee, Father, indeed, for Christ and all that he has wrought for us at Calvary. We thank thee that he came into this world, took our sin, took all of our punishment, there bore it on the cross, and he has become also the Lord, our righteousness. We thank thee that we shall not be judged for sin, but we shall receive that reward for faithfulness. Be with us now, and Lord, we commit each and every one into thy safekeeping and care. Grant us a good night's rest and joy and peace in believing. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.